Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to bring it on an end around. Xavier Worthy needs a block. He gets one, now two, at the 40. He's at the 30, turning on the speed and then out of bounds as the angle gets cut down by Roquan Smith, the three-time Pro Bowler. An end around. Did I say it's great to have Xavier Worthy back? That's a 35-yard end around on first down to the Raven 21.
Tell him, Mitch, victory Monday, 37-20. How you doing, Kansas City? How you doing?
I know that I'm hard.
Better believe it.
Everybody should be in a good mood.
Hell yeah, man. Couldn't ask for a better victory from the Chiefs yesterday as they beat the Ravens 37-20. Victory Monday, everybody goes and says, oh, I can watch TV again of the highlights.
Yes.
Well, you could have done it last week, too. The Chiefs have now, what is that, 59-29. That is a 30-point differential in 2 weeks.
That's a hell of a differential right there, man.
I mean, that's where you judge teams. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, if you want to see a real big point differential, go look and see what the Kansas City Kern are doing to other teams.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. It's soccer, by the way, where games are normally 1-0 or 2-1. The point differential for the Kern is nasty. The Chiefs' point differential in the last 2 weeks, they've scored 40. They've scored 59. They've given up 29. That's real easy math, even for your boy who's an idiot, doesn't know what he's talking about. 30-point differential in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and
that's
where you got to go. And now you play a Jacksonville team that I think we're all smart people. I think we can all look at the tape and be like, there's no business losing this game on Monday night to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Chiefs are favored by 3.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about Jacksonville, quite honestly, because they haven't played anybody good. So it's hard to get a real read on whether or not they're any good. Obviously, you got to have to stop the running back a little bit and figure him out. I'm not scared by the quarterback, and the coach doesn't really freak me out at this point in time either. I love
he freaks me out. But
well,
not.
Yeah, yes, he's weird. He wants to fight Robert Saleh.
Yeah, don't on do that.
I mean, you want to fight Robert Saleh on the sideline? You got to have a screw loose, because Robert Saleh will kick your ass, man. I don't care who you are; your ass is getting kicked by Robert Saleh.
Him or Dan Campbell? That'd be a good brawl.
Now that should be the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
<That's>, yeah.
Right? If Campbell and Saleh aren't in the Super Bowl, let's have a boxing match.
Love I also it. Don't disagree with what Liam Cohen did.
I don't either.
You
Hell
said
no.
I cheated, and then you went on the sideline after you beat
yeah,
him and said,
suck it.
Put that in your brain. Huh? How about that, Robert Saleh?
Yeah.
You're not a head coach. I am. Get bent.
Robert Saleh was accusing Jacksonville stealing signals and stuff like that all week, I guess. And
you really the guy that goes, Duval, is that smart enough to see what signals are?
Yeah.
And if they
get
are,
bent.
Yeah. Do better, Robert Saleh. Like, sorry. Like, I know that the sky is falling in San Francisco with every single injury that keeps amounting to them. And you lost your first game and you showed up like an ass. Like, I disagree with Robert Saleh on the end of that game. Like, if you're going to accuse somebody, then if you're going to walk it, go talk it, right? Don't just slap your gums and have a bunch of, words that come out. Then at the end of it, like, oh, I bet you don't want to fight me. Yeah, I don't.
You don't? No, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a psychotic football coach that's ripped.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers was right.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
816.
That's a good point, Dusty.
816 says, don't forget Vrabel. He'll rip your head off. Yeah, that's trio.
That's the number one guy. Yeah. That's Vrabel's number one heavyweight undisputed champ of any coach I don't want to fight.
Because he's got crazy in him.
Also, don't sleep on Mike Tomlin, dude. Like, I don't know about him. I mean, Mike Tomlin might be one of those guys where you're like,
flip
hey, man,
switch.
And then bam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin would,
he's scary.
He'd F you up, too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think who else is out there. Oh, D'Amico Ryans. I'm not messing with D'Amico. That's a former defensive player. You know.
I feel like Jim Harbaugh would be the guy that'd be absolutely bloody in the face and be like, "Oh, is that all you got?"
No, he'd be Rocky sitting in the corner. That's all you got. I got Herbert.
Locked, got, and ready to rock.
I just feel like there's a lot of insecurities with Robert Saleh. I don't know what
it is. Well, I think a lot of people in sports have insecurities, though. I mean, they're told that they're not going to be any good. They got to work hard, busted, always out there trying to prove everybody wrong. Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of people that are insecure. Well, one guy who's not is Andy, obviously.
I was about to say, not Andy. And not he proved Andy. Everyone wrong yesterday. That was a big game for him, in my opinion.
I thought so, too. And I think when you're a guy that's comfortable in their skin with who they are and you've been around the block long enough, you don't care anymore about what people think. You have nothing to prove to anybody. And yesterday, Andy coached his 200th game as a Chief. And he's 145-55 in the regular season in his 200 games as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
That's incredible.
And you kind of look at what he's done over the course of his career. He coached 240 games in Philadelphia. And I've been telling people for the last couple of years now, we're very close to having an NFL player who didn't know that Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. We may have an NFL player. I mean, we got guys that can't line up on sides. So we may have an NFL player that doesn't know that Andy Reid coached the Philadelphia Eagles. 40 more games in Philadelphia than he has here in Kansas City. And he has 11 playoff appearances in Kansas City, only 9 in Philadelphia.
Pat Mahomes.
Do you realize he's got 5 Super Bowls here, 1 in Philadelphia. Ooh. Andy Reid essentially has had 2 Hall of Fame careers. His career is a Hall of Fame career in Philadelphia. Not as great, but he's still a Hall of Fame coach in Philadelphia. And now he's a Hall of Fame coach here in Kansas City. And that's remarkable. To see a guy like Andy Reid have 2 separate Hall of Fame careers in the NFL as a head coach, that's just stupid.
Incredible.
Does Parcells get that?
I don't think so, no. He didn't win anywhere else, you know. He did take the Patriots to the Super Bowl, but you know the Dallas thing was a mess. He did with the Jets, like
the Giants. He was great.
He was great with the Giants. He was good everywhere else.
Yeah, that's fair. This comes from Chuck Hogg Norris on Twitter or X.
Heard of him.
Supposedly has a hamstring injury, but it's not even on his hamstring. Lamar Jackson quit. There's like a picture of Lamar Jackson wrapped up, what you said earlier, with the ice pack on the back of the knee.
Yeah, did you see that ice pack?
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, look, I will say this. To be fair, it was 37-13.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were getting their ass kicked, and there was 4:55 left.
Yes. But when he went out of the game, what was it?
It was
30-13?
Yeah,
so 17-point game. Yeah. I get it. I mean,
the picture on X from CBS is 37-13, 4:55 left, and he's got a wrap around his knee and on the back side of his knee. I mean, hey, look, man, if you want to wave the white flag, I have no issues with
that. I don't either, but the coach should
tell
him. Yeah, just say, look, man, I pulled him out of the game. We're getting our ass kicked. I didn't want to get him hurt. We've got, 13 more of these to go in this whole thing? But
their next 2 games, I believe, are the Texans and the Rams. Yes, the Texans and the Rams.
That's right.
Not gimmies.
No, they're not.
And maybe the Texans figured something out. Now, they played those Tennessee Titans, and they are the worst team in the NFL.
But sometimes just seeing the success and realizing the success carries you.
CJ had that deep ball back. He said even after the game that he's having the same issues that they did to Mahomes. They're playing shell zone defense against him. He's got to figure out how to nip and tuck all below instead of going deep to Nico all the time.
I didn't hear
they're just taking away Nico. And then now they're like, if you want to
figure it out,
you can throw these little underpasses and try to do it. And so now they're trying to figure that out. Plus, his offensive line sucks.
Oh, God. It's
your
horrendous.
Hamstring goes across the back of your knee. Thanks, bud. I do want to say this, though, because yesterday's game from an offensive standpoint was great. But from a defensive standpoint, it was better. Am I wrong about that?
They're both amazing. I don't know.
Amazing. I love the offense. We needed that.
But we knew what we had on offense. We knew, at least
I get what you're saying.
Worthy was back, it was going to move better.
Yeah, I agree.
We know what Travis Kelce is. We know what Holly Brown and Tyquan.
I had more confidence.
I don't think anybody knew it was going to be that good, though.
But that
yesterday.
Was like Lamar Jackson drove down the field on the first drive and shoved it to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, okay,
here's that
slobber knocker I was talking about. And then it was gone.
Good, done. That was it. They didn't show up the rest of the way.
Derrick Henry ran the ball 8 times.
Going off script, man. You get these quarterbacks off script in the NFL. It's Mahomes and Josh Allen. They're really the only two that are effective off the script.
I'd give Spags more credit than what you're – I mean, that sounds like, oh, Lamar sucks. No, like Spags
Oh, no, it's not taking...
Lamar
was great on the script. He went off the script and immediately it was over for them. And yeah. Yes, obviously Spags. But I just watch these quarterbacks like Caleb Williams. When he went off the script, you know, he's terrible when he goes off the script. You just see it a lot now, more in the NFL, where everybody has a really good first drive and then it's a cluster after that, right? Not a lot of these guys. We've got one that can truly play once the first 15 are done.
I think the other thing, too, is that the result of this game is exactly what everyone in the national media said it would be when it came to the scenarios. If the Chiefs win, they are back. This team looks like they could be a potential, you know, Super Bowl candidate again. Let's see what happens. Xavier Worthy's going to play. And if the Ravens lose, is it trouble in paradise with Jim or John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson? Today, a lot of shows are saying, what's going on with Baltimore? This is their worst start since 2015. Are they getting tired of the Jim or the John Harbaugh stuff? Are they getting tired of this? The defense is trash. The offense can't sustain what the defense is giving up. And we saw that yesterday. The Baltimore Ravens offense came out, knocked up 7. Chiefs got 3. Baltimore came back, threw an interception. Chiefs get the ball, get 3 points. All of a sudden, the Chiefs just didn't go away, and Baltimore couldn't close out anything. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't give the ball to their best player, Lamar Jackson. They couldn't give the ball to their best wide receiver, Zay Flowers. They stopped running the ball with one of the best running backs we've seen in the last decade, Derrick Henry. They didn't do it. They turned the ball over 3 times. Lamar Jackson fumbled. Lamar Jackson threw an interception, and then I think that may be the only turnovers. But again, this is exactly what we thought it would be. If the Chiefs won, which they did, and they won in dramatic fashion in 37-20, now everybody's going, well, they get Rice back in 2 weeks. They play Jacksonville. Sure, they're going to have a tough one against Detroit. That's 2 weeks away. They've got Jacksonville next week. Then all of a sudden, they're above 500 if they win that game. And the Chargers lost yesterday. And then you look at the Ravens. Big time trouble in paradise.
Well, there is. But I think John Harbaugh kind of falls into that same category as Andy Reid of coaches we kind of just take for granted and expect them to go out there and just win all the time. And then when they suffer a couple of losses, everybody starts to kind of freak out. I think John Harbaugh is still a good football coach, but his team is just decimated by injury right now. And that's what even Andy said after the game. I know they're boys and everything, and he's going to defend his guy, but they're decimated by injuries right now. I don't think this is an indication of John Harbaugh being a bad football coach or it's time to move on. I don't know anybody that could recover from the MASH unit that was out there for Baltimore yesterday.
What this guy see from the sidelines, hit it, Mac.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klinger with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's a Monday, 8:30. That means our guy, Josh Klingler, joins us. And, you know, before he does, Kling, I think we saw a really good game from Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
hey, man, what did you make of Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
What say you, Josh Klingler? Was that his best performance ever or best performance since when?
Yeah, I was trying to think of since when, because I thought yesterday he was amazing. Like, just kind of completely in command, kind of put the ball wherever he wanted to, seemingly had everybody open at some point in time as he went through his progressions. I thought he was terrific yesterday. And, you know, there's a lot of games where you kind of look, you know, and Pat does his thing and you kind of just kind of move on and you take it for granted a little bit. But I thought yesterday he was spectacular. Now, granted, you know, Baltimore was decimated on defense, as you guys have been talking about with the injuries, but I don't think it takes away from what they were able to diagnose and dial up and get to offensively yesterday. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know the win, but it's been a while since I think I've seen him play like that.
I think for me, it was the Bears game, Taylor's first game in Kansas City, Josh, a couple of years ago. That when they put up 41, that to me is the last, like, wow moment.
Did we even watch that game? I don't remember. I thought everybody was looking towards the stands.
We were watching Taylor most of the time, yeah.
I think I was watching the photographers shoot pictures. I try to shoot picture of the field and then turn around and shoot like 10 photos to the suite. Yeah. So, and then figure out if she was in that popcorn machine. But, yeah, I mean, I saw the way that they, you know, got the ball around the field. I think Xavier Worthy's presence obviously helped with that regard, made that offense look a lot smoother. But I thought Patrick was fully in command. I thought the offensive line did a good job of keeping him clean, and that's what this offense can be if all the parts are running as they should.
Yeah, and Xavier Worthy, man, he's just that. That's what we should have saw in Brazil on week one.
Yeah, and you know, I asked Juju Smith-Schuster about it after the game, and I thought, okay, well, I probably won't get this answer because this feels like a you're not in their answer. This is a, you know, 10,000 foot answer. But I'm like, his presence makes it different, right? And he's shaking his head and said, absolutely. So it opens up everything. You know, they have to respect the deep presence. You get a change in the safeties. It just opens up the field and unlocks a lot of things that they're trying to do. So, you know, not that it's down to one player for this offense, but one player can really make a difference in unlocking things. And then obviously they target him a lot too. You know, they weren't shy about getting into the football yesterday, but just his presence is one thing. And then also his productivity when he's getting the ball is another.
Yeah, when you look at productivity and getting the ball, obviously we used to see in Travis Kelce, number 87 on the field, getting 6, 7, 8 catches a game, 115. But yesterday was a nice, methodical, veteran style of play. Did you see a lot of that yourself? Like, as you watch the game develop, Kling, when you're seeing, all right, this is what we need to see from the tight end in year, whatever, 13?
Yeah, that's what I felt. Like, it kind of just dawned on me, like, I feel like it's okay for Travis Kelce to just be a normal NFL tight end right now. He doesn't have to be the super tight end that we've had. Mm-hmm. That he's towards the tail end of his career. Just get him the ball and get 7 yards, or get him the ball on third down and get a first down. He knows how to get himself in space. He's probably not going to break away a lot of times, although we did see him have the long touchdown already this season. But if he's just the guy that works the middle of the field and gets you chunks, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't have to be a back-breaking, you know, 20, 30-yard play all the time. Just give me 7. Just be a regular NFL tight end. And I think within this offense, that's going to be good enough. And then there are going to be times where Patrick finds him as the security blanket. I think he threw a couple really good plays to him yesterday again, where he just knows where Travis is at and can do those types of things. But I don't know that you have to put everything on him. I think there'll be certain games where he'll be more of a factor. But if he's just a regular tight end that gets open, middle of the field, gets first downs at this stage in his career, I think that's more than okay.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that, especially when you have Worthy and then Rice coming back. And yesterday we saw Breshard Smith kind of step it up a little bit. It was fun to see him get involved in the offense.
Yeah, and it sounded like that was kind of a portion of practice last week, that it was like more and more. You saw like a little sprinkle of it last week when they kind of gave him, one of the Worthy, I guess, end-arounds that Worthy's getting back now, clearly, because he's really good at doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But just using him kind of more and more, he wasn't in on the first kickoff, and I thought, okay, that means he's probably going to get a few more looks on offense, and he has. His ability to split out, I think, has been good. So, no, you're continuing to add pieces. Worthy, if Worthy stays healthy and Rice comes back, you've seen Tyquan Thornton now not just be a vertical threat, but be able to run other routes and get himself in position and be a guy in the red zone. That's a lot of pieces to get the football to. So it's going to be fun to watch them do that. I think the offense is going to be just fine. Give the quarterback enough time. He's going to have enough parts to be able to get the football to.
Yeah, you look at yesterday's game with Lamar Jackson exiting the game due to what they said was a hamstring injury. You're obviously down there. It was wrapped up, ice pack, whatever on it. Was that more so like it didn't feel right, or this one's over, white flag, Cooper Rush, go finish up the slot pit?
That's what it felt like to me. And then the coach's cryptic answers after the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think John Harbaugh really helped the situation. It was weird, guys, because one, no one saw what happened. Suddenly he's just sitting on the bench, and he's sitting on the bench by himself. No trainers around. No players are talking to him. He's just sitting. At one point in time, Harbaugh did finally come over, but I was kind of just watching him and the interactions, and no one was around him. And suddenly Cooper Rush is up and with the first team offense, and he's out there. And it was weird. Like, okay, did he have a mystery hamstring? Did they pull the plug? It didn't seem like they really pulled the plug, that he might have pulled the plug, which is indeed interesting. I'm not going to, make proclamations that he did this or did that, but I think it's a situation to watch, and I'm guessing it will be around the NFL, especially after the game when John Harbaugh says, I don't know when he got injured. I don't know the extent of the injury. And I don't know if he could have come back in if it was close. Like, yeah. What? Like, help the guy out a little bit if you're trying to defend him. So I think it's one of many questions the Ravens are going to have to answer. Obviously, they have more questions than Lamar Jackson. Their injury situation is a mess, and their defense wasn't good before the injuries, let alone what's going to happen after the injuries. And then, give credit once again to the Chiefs' defense. I thought the week before, Detroit's second half defense against the Ravens was masterful in the way they shut that thing down. Chiefs took some of that and amplified it as well. And I thought the first drive went down the field and Chiefs do what they do, made the adjustment, shut things down from then on out, and did just a really, really good job in slowing things down. I mean, you held that Ravens team to essentially 13. That last touchdown was kind of a busted breakaway, right? But even 20 points for what this Ravens offense has been doing this season is a terrific job by the Chiefs defense, limiting damage, at least for the most part, but then also just dialing it up and shutting things down, getting keys, sacks, tip passes, turnovers now too. I liked where this defense is going. They'll continue to be underappreciated while we magnify whether or not the offense is going great or not so great.
Yeah, they're always underappreciated. When did you smell weed the first time yesterday?
This is a second game in a row where I don't. Maybe it's just too commonplace now. I don't know. used to get the definitive whiff down the stands
at
some point during the game, but no, I don't. It's been a couple games in a row. Otherwise, or I've just become immune to it. I don't know. Maybe
I figured you'd smell a lot of weed once the announcement was the Chargers lost to the Giants yesterday.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad. It is funny though when you're in stadium because like I felt like everybody kind of knew, but they wait for the highlight. It's almost like bated breath and they show it and then the place goes crazy. But I'm like, didn't everybody see the score already come through? I mean, I was kind of burned. It's great though. We're scoreboard watching in like week four,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it does make it kind of fun because it spent the whole, noon to three block doing pregame and watching red zone, and keeping an eye on teams that could affect the Chiefs. It's kind of a fun way to go because, a lot of times it's front running, right? Or the teams are gonna have to catch the Chiefs. This is kind of fun, at least for a little bit. I'd rather reel the Chargers in sooner rather than later, though.
And Dave Tobe nailed this one in the pregame, huh?
I mean, Dave Tobe with Dana Hughes in the pregame says one team's gonna walk out of here 1-3, and it ain't gonna be us. I was like, wow, Tobe. It was pretty early in the pregame. Even Dana kind of lit up. He goes, yeah. He goes, I couldn't believe when he said it. That was kind of amazing. So I think they were pretty fired up that they weren't going to let this one get away. But yeah, we need more Dave Tobe pep talks, apparently.
Apparently so. Who knew?
Before we let you go, Kling, I know we're running out against the clock here, but I do want to ask this because it's part of our topic on the other side. Do you think that the phasing out of Isaiah Pacheco is beginning?
I think it's kind of the hot hand and, well, whatever hot hand means. But, I think they probably have a plan for both. But, boy, neither seem to really be engaged in what's going on in the run game. Hard to break off any long runs. Just give me like a 15-yarder, somebody,
Right. Not named Worthy or Mahomes.
Yeah, it's just seemingly the really difficult to find any space in running. Now, hopefully, maybe Xavier Worthy opens things up where you're getting the ability to run a little bit more. I don't know. I couldn't tell in New York if Pacheco was mad or he's obviously got a lot of family at that game and he was running out to get his family, but he like jetted off the field in New York 2 games ago. And I thought, well, that was kind of weird. He ran it 10 times, but maybe he felt like he needed to get more carries than that. But it just looks like it's going to be kind of a split deal. I mean, it's been about 50-50 every time. So, And then who knows if Rashard Smith gets a few extra looks, we'll see. But I still think that, they're looking for a dynamic type, either runner or guy that can catch passes. And yeah, it looks like Kareem Hunt fits a little bit of that mold more, and certainly Rashard Smith does if they're able to get him more involved in the pass game.
No doubt. Like Henry Lake once said, you got to ride the hot guy, if I'm quoting that correctly. Kling?
And stay for all the games. Don't do what Henry did because 11 years ago tomorrow night, he left early.
Hey, when you go to Jacksonville to do the sideline reporting for the Chiefs Radio Network, make sure you get a Camel Rider sandwich. They say it's popular in Jacksonville. You'll let us know, I guess.
at the stadium or somewhere else?
Somewhere in Jacksonville. Their cuisine. It's their food, man. So we need a full rapport.
A camo.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Camel rider sandwich.
Stuffed pita.
Oh, camel.
Pita. Yeah, stuffed pita bread.
Oh, that makes it better.
Yeah.
Smash. Camo or camel.
Either one, disguise when you eat it. Kling, we'll talk to you next Monday, same time.
See you guys.
Later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.